The U.S. dropped a mega bomb in Afghanistan yesterday, one that is being called the nation's largest non-nuclear bomb. The GBU-43B contains 11 tons of explosives and weighs approximately 21,000 pounds. Pentagon officials say it was used on an Islamic State tunnel complex. So how significant is this action, and what could it tell us about what's next? I'm joined for a few minutes by Daniel Rothenberg, co-director of ASU's Center on the Future of War and a senior fellow at New America. So Daniel, just straight up, how significant is this action and the use of this particular bomb?
So that's a great question because it's difficult to understand how to answer appropriately. It's certainly interesting that this bomb that has never been used before was used in a particular environment just this week. It was used in a very remote area, an area of some symbolic significance because this is where, it's not far from the Tora Bora area where Osama bin Laden managed to get out of Afghanistan and into Pakistan, so it has that kind of symbolic resonance for those who follow the country's security situation. And yet it was targeted against probably the least significant group in terms of the future of Iraq presently, which is to say ISIS-K, ISIS Khorasan. Mm-hmm. And this is happening at the same time that around one-third of the Afghan population lives under the control of the Taliban, quite clearly a group with enormous impact in the country. And there are many other groups like the Haqqani Network and al-Qaeda who have a long-standing presence and present a far greater security threat to the situation.
Does something like this send a message to adversaries, to allies, that there is some certain obvious strength in addition to diplomacy? Is this a drastically different message than the Obama administration would have sent?
In a momentary sense, sure. As you watch these incredible military technologies being deployed, it sounds big, it sounds serious, it looks big, looks serious. Really on the ground, the jury's out. We just don't know. And I don't mean that to suggest yes or no, because this is early in the administration. And I think what we are seeing is an administration that said a lot of things in the campaign is engaging the real world and the complexity of the real world. Some of us who've been following Syria for a long time and the unbelievable suffering, you know, over 400,000 people killed, fully half of the Syrian population displaced by violence, maybe as many as 2 million injured. There was a certain sense of relief in seeing anything happen, even at the same time as it's quite clear that this act on its own is fairly insignificant in resolving the core issues on the ground. In Afghanistan, let's imagine that following this big blast, we hear something like the U.S. is committed to supporting the Afghan state with military presence for the next 20 years. That would be a policy difference. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard that, and frankly, we haven't yet heard any core strategy that would help engage the circumstances on the ground, which are, according to many analysts, about as bad as it has been since the fall of the Taliban regime. That is to say, currently the situation on the ground, the state's ability to control its territory is under great threat, and the answer to that can't possibly be resolved through a bomb or through even huge bombs.
You're co-director of the Center on the Future of War at ASU, as we mentioned. Does what has happened in the past 3 months, what's happened in the past week, indicate anything about the future of warfare?
So oddly, no. In that these particular attacks and all the glitz and energy that's associated with them is actually the sign of some tactics that have been around a while. So the cruise missiles haven't changed all that much. I mean, there's some adjustments, but basically that capacity has been around quite a while. Mm-hmm. The dropping of enormous weaponry, some might argue, is what is the defining moment of the post-war security space. That is to say, when the U.S. dropped nuclear weapons on Japan at the tail end of the Second World War, that set a tone. And even though this isn't obviously a nuclear weapon, it's nowhere near as destructive, the idea of large ordnance being dropped, as the U.S. did in Vietnam, as has been done in various other conflicts, that's not new. Mm-hmm. There are other things happening that are quite new that actually have not been talked about so much, but, you know, cyber capabilities to dismantle, say, North Korean capacities, we know something about that. Mm-hmm. That is genuinely new. And there are elements of these conflicts that are new and not new. I think the story on the ground in Afghanistan is almost a classic one, which is it appears that distanced technologies simply cannot achieve a strategic victory in the country. It's worth everybody remembering this is a decade and a half of conflict in Afghanistan. Massive U.S. military power has not been able to produce the outcome desired in that country. And likely that's one of the lessons from a lot of these recent conflicts, that there's a political complexity to these conflicts. And engaging that can't be achieved through enormous, impressive ordnance.
Daniel Rothenberg is co-director of ASU's Center on the Future of War and a senior fellow at New America. Daniel, thanks for the insights.
Oh, thank you so much.